Good morning. It's 10 past 10 here on your Saturday morning. This is the On FM football show after the Christmas break. Guys, did you all have a good Christmas break?
It was lovely.
Had a lovely one, thanks, yeah.
Yeah, did we eat lots of turkey?
Too much.
Goose, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, very nice. Ooh, yeah. I'm the new age kind of goose girl, yeah.
Don't know quite what,
what does that mean?
She's the new age goose girl. Ooh, you tease, Rachel. Yeah, I had a lovely Christmas. What presents did we get? Anyone get anything good worth mentioning?
No.
Really?
Actually, I got Arsenal tickets to see the Bolton game because it was on general sale. That's on Wednesday.
Oh.
So that's quite good.
Not too bad, but yeah, like Bolton game.
No, it's the game in hand, though, so it'll actually be quite a crucial one.
It's actually a massive game, isn't it, for
yeah,
Arsenal?
Yeah, so actually I think it worked out quite well.
Right, big talking point today is the 2nd of January and the transfer window has officially opened. You can't move for seeing transfer rumours in the papers today. First of all, Rachel, you are one of our many football experts. What do you think, who do you think needs to buy in the transfer window?
Well, actually, I have to say, footballrumours.com, which is obviously red hot at the moment, under that, Harry Redknapp apparently is about to land Celtic Scott Brown, which doesn't surprise me greatly. I think it's actually the kind of player they might be after in terms of another combative midfielder alongside Wilson Palacios. He's a bit of a thug, so he'd probably be quite true to that team. And, I mean, he probably would be quite useful.
Sorry if you're listening, Scott. We all love you here on FM.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that move. Although, obviously, kind of Modric now is kind of back fit and scoring, so he's going to want to be kind of taken into account. But that wouldn't surprise me as a possible move for Harry.
Tottenham, I can't believe, if Tottenham buy again, it's like, how many players do you want to buy? How much money have Tottenham spent in the last few years?
Oh, incredible amount, actually. But I think, I mean, apparently they're going to have to sell to buy. So Pavlyuchenko is very much up for sale. That's what Harry Redknapp has said. For the right price, he can go. So it will be who buys him, really, if he returns to Russia or perhaps goes across to North London to Arsenal.
Of course, we're going to... the transfer window is going to be filled with Manchester City-type gossip. Who do you think... out of all these players that's being linked with Manchester City, who do you think's most likely to go there? Or do you think they're going to buy at all? Stupid question. Sean. Come on, Sean.
I think, well, they're talking about getting that Cordoba guy from Inter.
Yeah, he's a bit old, though, isn't he? He's like...
He's 33.
32, 33.
Yeah, but it's enough, and they're losing Touré to African Nations. I think he'd be
no
the
great
first
loss,
to go.
Is he? He's playing really badly at the moment, to
yeah,
us,
no,
isn't
actually,
yeah, but there's
so.
No one... I mean, who would fill in for him? Lescott's injured as well now.
Yeah, Lescott's injured. They haven't got any other centre-backs, have they? Michael Ball?
On a
is he still there?
On a
he's injured, actually, isn't he, as well?
So he's they a good haven't... player, good young player. But I think if anyone goes to Man City, Cordoba will be the first.
Is there rumours of Yunus Kabul leaving and going to Man City? Yunus Kabul, the sort of £8 million flop at Tottenham, who Portsmouth picked up for almost nothing. And there's rumours of him going somewhere.
To Man City?
Think Man City, yeah. I think there's
that would be an absolutely dreadful signing. Absolutely awful.
I suppose it depends how much they pay for him, doesn't it? Portsmouth will take anything at the moment.
He can occasionally score. I think that's his only worth and value. No, I can't imagine Roberto Mancini signing him, to be honest.
So, big players coming into the Premier League. The papers are talking about, obviously, Sergio Aguero is a massive talking point as far as Chelsea goes. Are Chelsea going to splash out the money? It's obviously going to be big money needed to sign him. Do you think Chelsea are going to do it, Rachel?
Well, Carlo Ancelotti has said that he'll run around naked, won't he, around the is it the training ground, if he actually does sign anyone, because he's saying that Chelsea can cope without the likes of Didier Drogba. Which is probably fair enough. I'm not really sure how much Daniel Sturridge can kind of fill Drogba's boots.
Well, Kalou's off, isn't he? And Anelka's injured, so...
I think we should get our cameras ready, because I think we might be seeing him running around the training ground naked.
Do you think that's a... I mean, it's a comical tactic, I suppose, is it? Just showing that they don't actually need someone, so please don't boost the price.
Yeah. I suppose to an extent, I suppose it installs confidence in the players that are already there. Like, as you said, the young lads like Sturridge who are coming through. But I just can't see, with the possible transfer ban that they could have, I can't see them not spending money.
As far as players leaving the Premier League, let's not say leaving the Premier League, but players who might be leaving big clubs. Obviously, since we last did a show, the big news was that Mark Hughes left Manchester City. Mancini's now the manager. Craig Bellamy. Is Craig Bellamy going to leave? As an Arsenal fan, I'd love someone like Craig Bellamy at Arsenal. But he's everything that Arsenal stand against, so it's never going to happen. But would you, if you were if you, you know, the fan of your club, would you like Craig Bellamy at your club? Well, Rachel, you're an Arsenal fan.
Well, he's been one of kind of Manchester City's kind of best players of the season. So I can't imagine that Mancini would let him go. Even though he doesn't really seem in the mould of kind of an Italian manager's kind of favourite, I think his kind of, well, I think his aggression and passion for the game will see him stay at City. I don't think anyone else would be able to afford him.
His wages far too much.
He's not going to do this. He's not going to follow through with this plea of loyalty to Mark Hughes, is he, and stay. He's going to quickly look at his bank balance that he's getting 120 plus a week and think, actually, I never liked that Mark Hughes that much, isn't he?
But you know what I think is the best bit of transfer gossip, which I read today and I'm reading now, is that apparently Real Madrid are going to make an offer of £60 million for Wayne Rooney. £60 million Wayne Rooney. I can really see that happening, can't you guys?
Not at all. I think
that's a note of sarcasm there, isn't it? I mean, they've got Karim Benzema, who actually I would have said was a little bit in the mould of kind of Wayne Rooney, really. It's someone that I think Arsenal should definitely have gone in for. And actually, at the time, Arsene Wenger said he felt that actually that was quite a good price for him. So why he didn't go for him, we'll never know. But no, I mean, obviously, that's a little bit of paper tat there.
England's number one, David James, linked with Portsmouth. I mean, I spent a bit of time in Portsmouth over the holidays, as my father lives there, and we were having a chat because he knows loads of Portsmouth fans, etc., etc. They are absolutely devastated at the moment with the state of the club. I popped into the club shop, got some lovely bargains. I tell you, they're obviously trying to get their money. I got some lovely Portsmouth joggers, Portsmouth shorts.
I'd love to see you kitted out in those.
Even as an Arsenal fan, I thought, I'm having them almost 50% off in the Portsmouth shop. That's how much money they need. David James. Is he going to go to Tottenham? Do Tottenham need David James, Rachel?
I suppose with Cudicini out for some time, they need a kind of a good backup goalkeeper. Gomez actually has been doing very well this season. He's made some fine saves. So
Gomez is a good goalkeeper.
He had a brilliant game against Fulham. It was ironic, actually. The Hammersmith end, I was at that game, the Hammersmith end was singing, "We love you, Gomez, we do." The Fulham fans were singing it to him. He gave him a gesture, he gave him a wave, and then he just started saving everything that came at him. So he kind of bit back a bit.
Was it the same fixture last season where he had a couple of horrendous...
Yeah, he had an absolute howler last year. Yeah, he's basically passed the ball into his own net. He had it in his hands and basically threw it back into the goal. But yeah, basically he got the stick from last year. But yeah, he had a brilliant game at the Cottage.
He's a great goalkeeper. I think he'll prove himself in time to become one of the best goalkeepers in the Premiership. I honestly think so. He's got all the attributes. It's just his susceptible on crosses, a bit like David James. I don't think Tottenham need David James in the slightest. And there's rumours of this Begovic, the Portsmouth number two, going somewhere because he's been apparently attracting rave reviews. Obviously, in these financial times that we live in, even Premier League clubs and Championship clubs are going to be looking to loan signings in the January transfer window, not wanting to spend too much money. Can you see, what loan signings could you possibly see, or what signings do you think might be good for certain clubs?
Well, I think actually Liverpool's been strongly linked to Maxi Rodriguez from Atletico Madrid. And I was quite surprised by that. It's meant to be kind of a six-month loan signing. But Rodriguez, I'd say, was one of their kind of key men, I would have thought, in terms of attention-grabbing headlines. Obviously, Aguero is their number one man. But he must be on the spell. He must be on the sidelines because he said that,
he's been on the bench quite a lot this year.
And they haven't been doing too well, so possibly that's the reason.
Chris, our Euroleague expert will bring you in now. Rodriguez from Spain?
I think a lot of all this talk is linked with the World Cup this summer. I think players want to get attention. They need to get playing. They need to impress their national managers. And Atletico Madrid aren't doing too well in the Spanish league. So it could be in their interest to offload him, to get more attention.
That's the thing. It's all about the World Cup now coming up, isn't it? Well, if you have any transfer goss or you've got any ideas of who you'd like your team to buy or loan in the January transfer window, please get in contact with us at sport@onfmradio.co.uk, or if you get on our Facebook page, we're on 118 friends now, guys. We haven't quite got up to Brad Friedel. Brad Friedel's on 188, or he was last time I checked, and we really wanted to get up to Brad by Christmas, but we haven't. So
if it's a new target.
If you're on Facebook, please join us. Sounds like I'm begging for friends. Please join us, be our friend on Facebook, and get all your friends to be our friends right on our wall. Anything you've got to say to us, you can do it there. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. You are listening to the On FM Football Show. It is Saturday, the 2nd of January, 2010. Mental. Yay. Can you believe it, guys?
Yeah.
Everyone's, I think everyone's still, is everyone still hungover from New Year's Eve?
Just about recovering, yeah.
Yeah, well, we've had an email, our first email of 2010. Brendan, would you like to read the email out? And who's it from?
I can. It's from Steph and Mazza. Is that right? Yeah, Steph and Mazza. They said, can we have a shout-out? We're loving the show. And thanks for playing the Michael Jackson Man in the Mirror. It's my favourite track. So, Steph and Mazza, cheers for tuning in to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steph and Mazza. Keep listening. Steph and Mazza might be interested in this one. Obviously, we were away over Christmas. We had our Christmas break, as the European leagues do. That's what, you know, we like to keep it a bit European on this show, don't we? So we had a little Christmas break. And obviously, over the Christmas break, the football goss and the football headlines, as they do, never stop. The biggest story that probably came out while we were off air was that Mark Hughes got sacked. Now, in the studio about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, we all predicted who we thought would be the next manager to get sacked. I think I said Benitez. A lot of us went for Megson, who now has been sacked. But Mark Hughes, sacked by Manchester City. Rachel, what did you make of that whole fiasco?
Well, it was a bit of a surprise. I mean, it was actually a bit of a PR scandal as well, wasn't it? Because he was actually approached a couple of weeks prior to that kind of game. And yet the Man City kind of board said that they hadn't approached him, that it literally been in the last kind of 24 hours. So it was a bit of a PR scandal, but that was Gary Cook, wasn't it, who came out and said that. But I suppose not that much of a surprise if they genuinely want to break into the top four. I think we discussed his credentials and his ability perhaps to manage some of the best players in the world. I think it was you, Matt, who was suggesting that Sam Allardyce might be a better option.
I wasn't saying Sam Allardyce would be a better option. I was saying that he was more qualified. Or he was equally as qualified. That's what I was saying. I was saying, how did Mark Hughes possibly expected to do that job when he's about as qualified as Sam Allardyce? I certainly wasn't suggesting Sam Allardyce got the job, although I think he's better than Mark Hughes.
Well, I mean, I think Sam Allardyce perhaps has a more kind of distinguishable style of playing football, which Bolton fans apparently have been missing, calling for Megson Budd and now actually getting what they wanted.
I think that was the biggest... There's certain jobs, I think, in English football which are just impossible to take over from. And I think that Bolton one, after what Sam Allardyce had done at Bolton, it was going to be so hard for whoever came in to kind of equal that, because what Allardyce did do at Bolton was amazing, you know. I think there's a few clubs who are in the same boat, you know. Arsenal are the same. Manchester United are the same. I suppose that's because of their long-term managers. But Reading's another good example of someone...
Steve Coppell
had his team. It was his setup. Everything to do with the club was all to do with Steve Coppell. So, you know, Brendan Rodgers came in and it was kind of in a no-win situation where you're taking over someone's complete ideas and you have to change that and come up with a whole new system for a football club.
West Ham never really got over Redknapp, did they?
Mm.
Brenchers, come in. Our League One and Two expert, of course, is here, Brenchers, and he's also a West Ham fan. Do you think West Ham ever got over Redknapp? Because he sort of left and he had his own brand and it was very, very much the Redknapp way. And then they've sort of gone through quite a lot of managers since, haven't they?
A few managers, yeah. I don't know about getting over Redknapp. He was quite... it was unpredictable, his spell. We'd be good one season. I think we came like fifth one season and then next season we were like 15th or something. So that, I suppose we'd miss him in that sense. But I think I'm quite happy with the way we're going at the moment, but
yeah. Although Zola, is he next? Is Zola next? Who is next? You were saying.
I think, and actually, this was the guy that I thought would go. Actually, Roberto Martinez, because he's got an awful record, and obviously his drumming midweek at Manchester United. I mean, it's not unexpected 5-0 drumming
in the end. 5-0.
5-0.
I sort of stopped bothering after about three. I was watching the Arsenal game, and it kept flashing up the United score. I thought, God, we're in for another 9-1 type drubbing for Wigan.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, 9-1 away to Spurs and then 5-0. I mean, it doesn't make good reading for the Wigan fans. They're 16th in the league. They're 1 point above the relegation zone. They could be potential targets in terms of Rodriguez, a good player. He might potentially go in January. Zogbia has been fairly good for them. He might possibly draw some interest from other clubs. And I mean, from away from home, they've conceded 33 goals. I mean, that's pretty shocking. So he's going to need to tighten up the defence if he has any chance of keeping his position.
As far as the Bolton job goes, there's a lot of talk in the paper. I think they've stopped taking bets now that Owen Coyle is going to be the next manager of Bolton. You're a Championship expert. Obviously, Burnley came up from the Championship last year, Sean. Do you think Owen Coyle would do a good job at Bolton, and do you think he'll go?
I kind of want him to go. Not for any particular reason, but he's done great stuff at Burnley. He got them where they are in the Premiership at the moment. It might be a case of, if he doesn't go now, he will never get another opportunity to manage a Premier League club as established as Bolton. He might just be a kind of yo-yo figure, management stakes. But apparently Burnley have come out and said that there's been no contact over Coyle getting the job at Bolton. He is odds-on favourite, and like you said, some of the bookies have stopped taking bets. But I think it would be in his best interest to take the job. But no offence to Burnley, I still believe Burnley will go down this year.
Yeah, it's just they're living on their home form.
With or without Coyle, I'd say they'll go down. So it'll be in Coyle's interest for it to be without him.
Is Bolton that much of a step up? I mean, I know they have had kind of some money in the past that actually he would never really get as a Burnley manager, and he has made some references already saying, you know, they've got a very small budget. He's basically not really going to be able to buy anyone. Would he be able to buy anyone at Bolton?
Well, I don't think, if he was to go to Bolton, I think he'd take a couple of the Burnley guys with him. Maybe Chris Eagles might come with him. He's looked quite good this year.
Yeah, he has looked
good. Also, he played for Bolton back in the day. He'll be a fan's favourite, so he'll already have the backing of the fans, which is something Megson hasn't got. So
the fans got Megson the sack, didn't they? Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From day one.
They were saying they wouldn't renew their season tickets because it was so boring watching Bolton play.
He hasn't done that badly. I think it's a shame for Gary Megson, really, because I know he hasn't done amazingly, but he's done what you'd sort of expect Bolton to really do after Allardyce. I don't think he's done any worse or any better. He's just, they sort of go along at a steady pace, don't they?
And I suppose they did have a few good players, really. Gary Cahill was tipped for more of an England spot. Kevin Davies has always been a very good scorer in the Premiership.
Yeah. A long time.
It's no JJ Okocha, though, is it?
Do you remember
Ivan Campo and JJ Okocha central midfield?
Well, that's the glory true, days. Actually. Can you ever replace
Fernando
that?
Fernando Hierro, he got in. The legend from Real Madrid.
I think that's kind of the difference. Allardyce did have, the BBC Panorama documentary maybe have said maybe it wasn't all above board, but Allardyce seemed to have this knack of getting these players on free transfers as well. He brought in, you know, established players like Okocha, and, you know, even Inamoto, when he brought him in from, was a big, you know, big Japanese star. But he seemed to have the contacts in the game, whether or not they were completely legitimate. But he seemed to be able to bring in these players. Allardyce just seems to have this knack, and obviously Megson couldn't get that quality of player in.
Who was it that signed Johan Elmander from Toulouse? Because that was actually quite a big money signing. I mean, I think they spent
Megson nine.
Well, I think that in some ways was very much his downfall. He couldn't get enough goals, Megson, and I mean, Amanda really didn't deliver them. And
that transfer to me just reeks of panic. It's just like, oh no, we need some goals. What are we going to do? Oh, this guy who plays for Toulouse is all right. Let's get him in.
I think he would have been better turning to perhaps kind of the Football League and actually trying to get someone like Jermaine Beckford or someone to see if they could step up. Because that was a huge money signing and a complete flop.
Right, as we do every week on the show, I like to pick three people or teams or football-based things that I think have had a mare in the recent football times. This week, funnily enough, we've been talking about it, but this week in third place is Gary Megson. Gary Megson in third place, so not too bad for Gary. He's only got himself in third. He's not first, but Gary Megson definitely had a mare just because. But the fans hated him. You've got to have a mayor if the fans hate you, don't you? That's having a mayor in my book. Second, Mark Hughes. He probably hasn't had a mayor, to be honest, because he's probably on about a £10 million payoff or something on his contract. So if that's having a mayor, then I want one. In first place, though, this week has to be Portsmouth Football Club. It's just going from bad to worse. As I said, I was in the club shop. Big sale, get yourself down there. There's going to be a big sale, I think, on the playing staff as well, because I don't know how they're going to keep hold of these players. There was a great chance at the Arsenal, if anyone watched the Arsenal games. Anyone see the Arsenal match?
Yeah, definitely.
Some fantastic chance by the Portsmouth fans, which I can't remember what they were, but I think I might have to Google them or something and tell you them, because there were some fantastic things they were shouting at the board. So this week, in the first week of 2010, Portsmouth FC...
You have had a right mare, son.
So Portsmouth get the first You Have Had a Mare of 2010. Anyone else you think's had a mare, get in contact with us, sport@onfmradio.co.uk, or get on our Facebook page and write on our wall. Stay tuned, we're here with you till 1 o'clock and on FM.
1.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back, this is Matt Dean and you are listening to the On FM Football Show in 2010. I can't believe I'm saying that, I can't believe it's 2010. Every week on the show, we like to send Rachel out to talk to some ladies and find out what they know about football. So let's see what Rachel's found out this week. Was that done in a bar on New Year's Eve?
No, actually, it was done in a girl's toilet on New Year's Eve, actually.
Because I love the bit in the background where you just had, oh, yo, 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 yo.
It was all very self-congratulatory, actually, yeah.
Thierry Henry and Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah, that's a girl that clearly liked a kind of European accent.
But the Tottenham fan, she knew her stuff, didn't she?
Yeah, she'd been well informed by her brother, actually. But yeah, no, she was really articulate. So, yeah, actually, to be fair, I found really quite talkative, informative people.
But unlike most Tottenham fans, she was actually honest as well by saying they wouldn't finish in the top four.
Yeah, she sounded like quite a pessimistic one, didn't she? But clearly had been wronged by Spurs over the years and felt that she couldn't commit.
Well, she was just being honest, wasn't she? Right, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of some of the big FA Cup fixtures today. Aston Villa versus Blackburn, Everton versus Carlisle, Middlesbrough are at home against Manchester City, Nottingham Forest, who are on a great run at the moment, are at home against Birmingham, Portsmouth are at home to Coventry, Reading are playing at home against Liverpool, Wigan against Hull, Chelsea at Stamford Bridge against Watford, Manchester United in the big one, I think it's 12:45 kickoff today, against Leeds, and tomorrow it's West Ham versus Arsenal. They're some of the big
Don't forget Barrow.
Barrow against?
Barrow playing Sunderland. Big game.
Is that today?
That is today. I think it's 3 o'clock kickoff.
Is it not on telly?
I don't think it is, no, sadly. It would be great for a team like Barrow to get a bit of TV footage, TV coverage, a bit more money in the bank.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if your local side or your second side, I think a lot of us have got second teams. If your second team are in action today in the FA Cup, drop us a line at sport@onfmradio.co.uk or get on our Facebook page and become our friend, write on our wall, tell all your mates to be our friends, and it'll be lovely. We'll all hold hands and sing. Coming up...
You agreed by silence there, Matt.
Well, you can hold hands with Matt and sing.
Throughout the show, we're going to be playing... each of us have chosen our favourite track of 2009. The first one, before he comes on in a second and does his League One and Two roundup, it's going to be a track chosen by our very own Brenches, and his favourite track of 2009 was White Lies by Mr. Hudson.
Brendan Horgan, Rob Mulhern, Rob Brennan, 101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back, this is Matt Dean and you are listening to the On FM Football Show, our first show of 2010. And it's freezing outside, but once again our studio is starting to get the heat. The sun shines on this studio, doesn't it, guys?
It's not too bad over this end, actually.
Yeah, you're in the shade over there, aren't you?
Yeah, normally I'm standing in the sun.
Well, Brenches and I are going to brave the heat, and we're going to be talking about League One and League Two. Brenches, what games have you picked out for us today?
Well, there's not too many games today, obviously, because of FA Cup, and there's a few postponements as well, especially in League Two.
It hit League One and Two hard, didn't it?
I mean, I think one day, Boxing Day, I think pretty much all League Two fixtures was up.
Which is annoying, isn't it? Boxing Day's such a good day, yeah. You know, you do your accumulator, yeah, you sit and watch.
Especially when you get up early, ready to go to the game, and it's called off.
Nightmare.
Yep. There's still a few biggish games. Charlton, London side are away to Walsall, which could be a tricky encounter. Dion Burton and Christian Daly are both doubtful for the match, and Sam Sodgy is suspended.
Is that Christian Daly? As in the real Christian Daly?
The real Christian Daly,
they're still going.
As opposed to what? The fake Christian Daly?
Yeah. Oh, and talking about fakes, sorry that Girls Aloud walked in during that last track. We just get all the stars here on FM. The Girls Aloud, they all five of them, they just strolled in the studio, scantily clad, started singing.
It was amazing.
Not on our watch, get out, didn't we? We said, get out. This is a football show.
You did. I nearly went with them, to be honest.
Sean, Brenches is trying to do his League One and Two here. Carry on, Brenches.
Right, yeah. Charlton away to Walsall, which is a tough game. Wickham Norwich, Adam Hinshawwood, new signing for Wickham, could make his debut. And Hartlepool Oldham, which is a fairly big game with a couple of underachieving sides. Christian Teemar and Jim Goodwin both joined Hartlepool on loan. So they could make their debuts as well. That's all the games in League One. League Two, Chesterfield, Shrewsbury, which is a playoff clash. Chesterfield are likely to be unchanged, I think. Shrewsbury have a couple of players out. Dave Button could be his last game of his loan spell.
Who's he on loan from?
Tottenham, I think. And leading scorer Dave Hibbert could be in contention to start instead of Wade Fairhurst. The other games, Bournemouth, who are second, I believe, take on Northampton, who are struggling after coming down from League One last year. Grimsby as well, their second bottom, play Bury. And Bradford face Cheltenham. There's a couple of League Two versus League One ties in the FA Cup, which I think could be a couple of upsets as well. Accrington Stanley take on Gillingham at home. Gillingham are missing a lot of players and they're very poor away. I think they've won one.
And how are Accrington doing?
Accrington doing okay. They're kind of mid-table. I suppose that's where you'd expect them to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they could take advantage of Gillingham's poor form away. And Torquay Brighton as well. Torquay they had a poor start to the season, but they've kind of picked up. And again, Brighton fairly inconsistent.
Are they still doing well under Poirier? Because he did
He started really well. They were expected to come down a little bit after the honeymoon period sort of stopped, but they're still doing better than they were anyway.
Brenches, once again, thank you very much. You are an expert. You are a League One and Two expert. That was Brenches. As you know, every week on the show, we like to, well, I like to come up with a topical track. Think of something that's happened in the last few weeks or week of football and link it to a song. And do you know what I was thinking, guys? I was thinking, you know, over the Christmas period, that the Premier League must have been thinking, oh, we've got to get all these games fitted into this small period of time. And they probably sat down and thought, God, we're jamming these games in, aren't we? We're just jamming these games in, which links me to Bob Marley, jamming.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Just makes you feel summery, doesn't it? Bit of Bob Marley. Bit of Bob Marley on a cold winter's day here in London. We've now been joined by Sean Keneally, our championship expert. Obviously, there's no championship games today, but you've picked out the top championship ties happening in the FA Cup. So, over to you, Mr. Keneally.
Well, yeah, like you said, FA Cup on, so the championship's off. There's seven all championship FA Cup fixtures.
That's
so
mad, isn't it?
We're guaranteed seven teams. I like it. It means we're guaranteed seven teams in the next round. Keep it going.
It's done by random draw. They pulled the names out of the hat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
No, I think maybe they do think up the odd tie. I don't know. You know, and just kind of fix it a little. Or do you not reckon they do that?
We don't.
Ooh, controversial.
They are the opinions of Sean Keneally, not on FM. Carry on, Sean.
My opinions matter. But, I mean, yeah, it was quite a busy Christmas period in the Championship, though. I mean, we saw Alan Irvine got sacked for Preston Boss, which was a shame for him. Been there a couple of years,
Doing quite well as well, wasn't he, at one point?
Yeah, but I think Preston just did quite well last year. They were
the victim of his own success, possibly.
I think so. And Gordon Strachan got his first home win, beating Scunthorpe, so that was a big moment for him, I'm sure. Palace still haven't paid their players. Apparently that's going through next week, but you know, that's 2 months on the trot now. But yeah, and Watford, just after getting safe administration, they went unbeaten. Managed draws with Bristol City and Forest, which weren't shoddy results really. But yeah, back to the FA Cup. Local teams QPR and Palace, they're both off to Sheffield today. QPR playing Sheffield United and Palace playing Sheffield Wednesday, both away. Then you've got Scunthorpe versus Barnsley, Blackpool at home to Ipswich, which would be an interesting one. Blackpool should win that, but I fancy Ipswich for a result there. Bristol City are playing Cardiff.
Have Ipswich picked up now?
Well, they play Palace on Boxing Day, but Palace were pretty good. They won 3-1. Ipswich didn't really show up. Jonathan Stead got sent off. But then he came back to score a couple of goals against QPR. Who they beat 3-0. But I'm not sure if that was really impressive Ipswich or more kind of lacklustre QPR. So, but they can kind of use that win to their advantage and come against Blackpool and maybe push on. Leicester Swansea is an interesting one because they're in the mix in the playoffs in the championship table. And then the final championship fixture you got is Plymouth Newcastle. But yeah, there's bigger games as far as the championship's concerned. You've got Spurs at home to Peterborough. Obviously, Peterborough without manager Ferguson now, and 40 places below Spurs.
Who's Peterborough manager then?
Well, Mark Cooper. Is, I don't know, is he actually manager, or is he just looking after them for now?
I thought he was the manager, and he did very well, actually, at Kettering, Mark Cooper. So he was seen as kind of a shining light in terms of, you know, English management.
Well, that's
management.
Good.
And I mean, they're actually doing very well in his absence as well, actually, Kettering, aren't they? They're just off the playoff places.
I don't know.
None of us know, Rachel. You're a fountain of knowledge, as usual.
Yeah, and Borough are at home to Man City, which I think you mentioned earlier. Mancini will be looking to add to his winning streak of 2 games, 2 wins and 2 clean sheets. So he's having a pretty good start.
Great thing in the Sun today, anyone who bought the Sun, a funny picture, well, I found it funny, was Gordon Strachan holding a water pistol and Mancini holding a massive sort of machine gun, and it was like, it's going to be like fighting off machine guns with water pistols, something like Strachan said. Sorry, Sean, carry on.
No, that's great. And then Reading are at home to Liverpool, which I think might be quite an interesting game. And then Chelsea-Watford, which is a bit of a derby. And Chelsea unbeaten in 6 League and Cup meetings with Watford, winning the last 4 of them. So I don't really fancy Watford's chances there. But other than that, that's pretty much the Championship team's input this weekend.
Sean,
but
thank you.
Should be busy.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you.
Coming up for you still today, we have got David Lloyd from There's Only One F in Fulham. He runs the Fulham fanzine, and he's going to be coming in talking a little about the Fulham fanzine and a little bit about Fulham. We've also got Pete Davies from We Are the Rangers Boys, who is, of course, going to be coming in to talk about Queen's Park Rangers, of course. You might have noticed we're one man down today. Rob Brennan's not here yet.
He's stuck on the train. Unbelievable. You know, you start the new year and he's taking it easy.
Literally, someone left glue on the seat.
Yeah. That's it. He's getting up late. He's taking his time, you know. A new year should bring improvement. But
he obviously still thinks we start at 11.
Well, what time do we start now, Matt?
We start at 10 a.m, guys. So, yeah, anyone who's listening, you know we start at 10 a.m. From now on, we're 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. Our new 3-hour show. Also on the show, we've got a great musician called Johnny Minar, who's going to be coming in probably in the next, I'd say, half an hour or so, and he's going to be doing a live track for us in the studio. He's a great singer-songwriter, and he is going to be coming into the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us today, it's sport@onfmradio.co.uk, or, of course, you can get on our Facebook page, come and write on our wall, just tell us anything you think, any football news, any gossip, anything you want to say. Stop laughing.
I love to laugh, I'm sorry.
Just these two clowns in front of me laughing.
I just thought of a good joke I got out of a cracker over Christmas, so it's fine.
Save that. Something like that will keep people listening. So, yeah, whatever you do, stay with us. We're here till 1 o'clock, whether you're sitting at home, in bed, whatever you're doing. It's 101.4 or onfmradio.com. Stay with us here. We're here with you at till 1 o'clock. It's the On FM Football Show. This is Matt Dean, and you are listening to the On FM Football Show, where we have been joined by David Lloyd, who runs the Fulham fanzine. There's only one F in Fulham. Hello, David. Thanks for joining us.
Morning. Hiya.
Tell us a little bit about There's Only One F in Fulham, and tell us a bit about it.
Well, where do you start, really? I suppose you go right back to spring of '88 when issue number one came out, and I did it then with a co-editor, David Preston, and he was the one that had got in touch with me and said, you know, what about getting a fanzine together? I didn't know what on earth he was talking about. And it was all pretty good in the Fulham camp at that time. Okay, we were down the divisions a little bit, but the club was in reasonable shape, and it was mainly to be something like a footballing private eye, just sort of taking the rise out of everything and anything, and there were roughly about 9 or 10 mags out at that time, so I'd say we were in the second wave of fanzines. And right from the off, it did rather well. But what really sort of got it on the road was the club almost going to bits. We had the ground, which was it almost became quite a boring issue in a sense, because it just was around us for goodness knows 5, 6, 7, 8 years. But at that time, what happened was the club did a deal with some property developers, and part of that deal was that they couldn't talk about the innards of the deal and what was to happen. And of course, at that time, that was pre-internet, pre this, that and the other, really, and all they had was a club program. But there was a fanzine, and that's where There's Only One F in Fulham came in, because we were fed information from within the club. We went to all the inquiries, CPO inquiries, lots of legal stuff, and it was quite a task, really, to try and put it across to the public in a readable form. But because of that, I think there was a value in the mag. There was a value. It was the only channel of information that was around at that time, and it was really required. And thank goodness for that. And somehow we've prospered over the years.
So, what kind of thing do you include in the fanzine?
Well, like I say, from the outset, it was supposedly to take the rise out of anything. Because even then, you know, it was all a bit pompous, wasn't it? But goodness, you know, it's changed even since then. Now the club itself has gone right down to rock bottom, almost went out of business, so things weren't that funny at that time. We still found a bit of humour in there, because that's what football fans do, but there was a real serious side of things at that point, and I was on the supporters club as well at that time, so right down to things like organising pitch demonstrations and basically carrying the flag for Fulham. And it was around that time too that we were getting fantastic support from all the other clubs, not only London but all around the country. So from that point of view then, and it was the heyday of the fanzine too at that time, from then we were getting input from all around the place. But in time, as things have settled down, and glory be, here we are in the Premiership, you know, we couldn't have believed that sort of 12, 14 years ago. And you'd think now that there's nothing to complain about as such, because clearly you know, it's, what do they say about empty vessels making the most noise? We've had loads of contributions over the past that I didn't necessarily agree with, but the point was, if it was publishable, i.e. not racist and not completely full of swear words, well, it was some person's view, and that was the whole point. It was an independent viewpoint.
So it's the fans,
it's the fans' view.
Who
it's
write
all
write
down to the
columns.
Fans, absolutely. And I have to say, you know, I'd stand here and say it's very much my baby. It is, although I started it with a co-editor, he went his own sweet way after about four or five issues. You could not do it, and I cannot do it now without the backing of the supporters, which has been absolutely second to none. And there's been some spine-tingling moments along the way in that respect as well.
So how much work? I know it's done two... You do two-month episodes, don't you, the 1F in Fulham?
Yeah, I mean, up until this last couple of years, when I've had a few sort of personal things in the background, family issues, which have had to come first, the ethos has been sort of every 4 to 6 weeks, and... bless Sky, you look at, you know, they obviously have an input to when games are played these days, but you're looking to have a couple of three games at home fairly close together, because you've got to shift the flipping things after you put it together. But yeah, it's either a fantastic thing, or it's a millstone, depending on my viewpoint in that particular week, when you've got deadlines rushing up at you.
So do you write in the fanzine yourself, David, or...?
I do a fair bit in the fanzine, but... thankfully, there's enough that comes in. I like to put my own stamp on it, because, you know, you can have an awful lot of differing views unless you've got one cause of the month. I mean, you know, at the moment, perhaps at Fulham end, you might talk about Zamora, you know, good, bad, indifferent or whatever, certainly attitude-wise. But in saying that, you know, it's hardly a complaint. We're in the Premier League. You know, it's a different level. When we were in the bottom division, we were taking the rise out of the likes of Tottenham, who would be complaining about losing a couple of games on the spin. That was a crisis. No, that's not a crisis.
Yeah.
A crisis is when you're about to go out of business. You know, so it's... I think those people that stuck with Fulham all through the years, the fans that have come through those awful 90s and how now here we are in the Premier League, they respect and appreciate where we are now that much more. And it's all a matter of perspective. Of course, you still throw your toys out of the Prem. We're all football fans, so something doesn't go quite right on the day, you're all going to groan and moan, but... You know, let's remember where we've come from, and hopefully see where we're going from here.
So you've been down there a good few years. The current squad, the current manager, Roy Hodgson seems to have done an amazing job. How impressed since he's taken over from Laurie Sanchez have you been by Roy Hodgson?
It's a perfect fit. That's all I can say. He's our type of manager. But I would go back to saying something that's extremely basic, because I've played. I mean, I would imagine most of us here and listening have played at some point Parks football. Whatever 11 or squad that you've got out there on the day, and this goes for any sport, you want to make the best of that squad. And something that we've banged the drum all those years of 2FIF is to have a look at what players that we've got out there, and if you're sorely missing the point, if you're really not getting there from what you've got available, then something's wrong. Because we have had good squads in the past that haven't quite done as they ought. Now, if you fast forward to today, you've got a manager that isn't... trying to take on the world. He's just, in a very humble way, put together not only you've got a really good squad, but the players that are there, he's improving all the time, and you can see that. Now, we might not be about to take any silverware. We might not be about to sort of, you know, take over the world or world domination, but we're getting there slowly. But we're getting there in an incredibly effective way. And, you know, to get a fanzine editor, if you like, or a supposed critic coming in and having a... You can't criticise. At the moment, it's the best as you're going to get. We're in Europe, we're doing well in Europe, and we're performing to an absolute peak level, and it's all credit to Roy Hodgson.
I mean, you said... I'm down Fulham most of the time because my father's a season ticket holder, and you said he gets the best out of these players. I mean, players like Chris Baird, especially since he's gone into the centre of midfield this season, are great examples of players who just need to be maybe nurtured. And I suppose Bobby this season, Bobby Zamora, seems to have... He stuck with him, you know, whatever internet campaigns there may have been, and it seems to be paying off. So he definitely does seem to be getting the best out of him, doesn't he?
He does. And just to put something right there, I think it's a bit of a misnomer about it being an internet campaign. I think...
Was it Twitter? Because I didn't actually...
Well, I don't think it was. I mean, clearly there have been comments on the internet, because I've read them. But I don't think it's anything... I think it's something a lot more obvious that Bobby had picked up on, and that is the one or two exceptionally voluble... guys, and I can think of one who I would argue has probably got a screw loose as well, but that's me being out of turn there maybe, who's made it his business to run down to the front when something hasn't gone quite right. And, you know, if we can hear him 20, 30 rows back, the players from about 10, 15 foot away are going to hear him. And he's been reacting to that sort of purely individual thing, which I have to say has not really been a Fulham trait of fans over the years. We have, I say we, I'd like to take that back. I've tried not to go along with the a minority group that have picked on a scapegoat from time to time, and I could name half a dozen that have come into that category, including Chris Baird, as you said.
Definitely, yeah.
But Baird was played out of position.
Yeah.
And he was doing his best at right back under Laurie Sanchez, and unfortunately his best wasn't good enough, because that is not his position.
Even the changes against Chelsea, you noticed when Chris Baird moved into the right back position, he wasn't comfortable there, and he seems to be a completely different player.
But what he is a good all-round player, and look, what Hodgson has done, I mean, you can almost resemble it to the old training with dustbins, if you like, where, you know, all right, you should always beat the dustbins, but one or two Fulham teams in the past probably wouldn't have. What he's done is he's got players coming in knowing exactly what they want to do, and that's where the Jimmy Bullard thing came up. We love Jimmy Bullard. Most of us, hand on heart, probably still do. Didn't like the way he left. But he was the type of character that couldn't quite conform to this pretty strict, disciplined way that is going on at the training field, where you need to do this at some point, you need to do that at some point. And so everybody knows their station, and that's why someone like Chris Baird can come in and perform so well. And we had a comment outside the game last couple of games, I think it was before the Man United game, where someone came up and said, you know, we've had Danny Murphy out for a little while now. Who would you say is our best midfield? And we were all scratching our heads, because you'd always have thought that Murphy would have been the first name down. But we managed fantastically without him. We'd still have him in first because of his influence and his captaincy abilities. But it shows you that he's got things sorted pretty well now, Hodgson, that people can come in, your Baird's, Tuhu's been out, they can come in and they can slot into something. Greening
also,
that they can come in and they can perform really, really well. It's a team structure, and a bit like Nottingham Forest under Brian Clough, the sum of its parts or whatever it is greater than the individuals there, and it's all praise to Hodgson.
All right, so Swindon today, Andy Johnson should be back from what I read in the papers. What kind of team do you reckon they'll put out today?
It's an interesting one, because it'd be nice that we put out something strong, because we'd like a cup run, that goes without saying. I can go back to when we played Swindon before, when we had George Best playing in the side. We had a replay and they went back to their place, and we thought, oh, here we go, we'll probably do something here. And we got tonked 5-0. So I'm not daring to suggest that we'll come up with anything like that scoreline today. But if we play anything like we did against Man United, anything's possible. So it rather depends on what team he puts out. But like I say, I think it's horses for courses. He can put out a decent 11 now with the fans being reasonably satisfied with whatever 11 goes out there.
So are you going to throw out a prediction for us there?
A prediction? Well, clearly I'd like to think that we're going to win today. I mean, I'm not going to come here and think we're going to lose. I don't think we're of the type that's going to be putting in a substandard performance. So I think he's got them geared up. So whichever team he's going to put out there, you know, the cup can throw up all sorts of banana skins. I don't think this is one of them. I'm going to be sticking out for a 2-0 win today.
2-0. So, David, anyone who out there who's never heard of the 1FM Fulham fanzine, who wanted to pick up a copy, you sell it just outside the Hammersmith end down at the cottage,
yeah,
is that
just,
right?
Just outside the Hammersmith, opposite the gates, and you're guaranteed of service with a smile.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for coming on to speak to us here at 1FM, Dave.
Okay, it's a pleasure. Perhaps I should have said service with a simile. There we go.
Welcome back, this is Matt Dean, and you are listening to the OnFM Football Show. Now, we've got a new member of the team who's joining us in 2010, and he's going to send us in a little clip every week. So
he doesn't actually come into the studio, does he, Matt?
He doesn't get out much.
Constantly on his telly watching non-stop football.
He's on his telly, on the internet, he's everywhere apart from out his house. He gets Tesco's to deliver. So, Let's hear what Andy Statt has to say for us this week.
Hello, Andy here, and I think you'll agree with me, there was a lot of footballing action on over the Christmas period. One game which caught my eye was Liverpool at home to Wolverhampton Wanderers. Liverpool won that game 2-0. There were a total of 8 corners, 7 of which going to Liverpool, and only the one going to Wolverhampton. I found this quite irregular, as back, I believe it was 1982, these teams met, and there were 0 corners, none whatsoever in the whole of that game. I'm Andy Statt, and that's my stat of the week.
Andy Statt there with his stat of the week. So there was no corners when the teams met in 1982, yet there was...
I remember it like it was yesterday.
And there were 7 corners this time. How bizarre. 6 going, what was it, Liverpool, Wolves did he say? 6 going to Liverpool and only one going to Wolves. And Andy Statt.
Wow, he is a bit of an anorak, isn't he?
He is. So there'll be more from Andy Statt. Andy Statt will be sending us in a little... his stat of the day every week. Right, guys, before we left for our Christmas break, the panel's predict game was really heating up, wasn't it? Shall I run you through the league table as it stands? By the way, we've been joined by Rob Brennan, our football expert. Hello, Rob.
Hello, morning.
He got out of bed, he's here.
Got a long day ahead, so I had a lie-in.
He had a lie-in. Right, the scores so far. In last place is tied between Sean... and Rachel. Out of 5 games they've predicted, they have got none right. Isn't that awful?
I'm not a betting woman, actually. I'm quite glad of that. I think I'd lose quite a lot of money.
Well, you've proved it by your predictions so far. So Rachel and Sean, who have no points.
Does that mean Rachel and Sean lose their experts?
No, I don't think so, actually, Brendan. Thanks for introducing that new rule of 2010.
If anyone listened to the Christmas show, they'll remember that you all lost your... expert titles by getting all those questions wrong. But later in the show, we do have a new experts quiz game, so we'll be doing that later, and I shall reveal in due course who is first up to face the experts challenge. They're all looking at me. None of them knew about this. I like the fact they're all looking at me blank-faced. Second place is myself and Brendan Hulk Horgan. We have one right out of 5 so far. And top of the leaderboard, it's a 3-way tie between Brenchers, Rob and Chris. You've all got 2 right out of 5 so far. So, I'm going to send the famous predictions hat round while we play a track of 2009 chosen by our very own Sean Keneally. This is his favourite track of 2009. Welcome back. You are listening to the On FM Football Show. Thank you very much for joining us today. It's Saturday, the 2nd of January, 2010. While that song was playing, that was Sean's track of 2009. While that was playing, we were all picking our game out of the hat, which we're going to now predict. Once again, I'm just fed up with these games I keep picking out. Just rubbish games. Sheffield Wednesday, Crystal Palace.
It's your opinion that's a rubbish game.
No, I'm not saying it's a rubbish game. I'm saying it's a rubbish one to predict. If I was in the bookies, which I wouldn't be because I don't do that kind of thing, I definitely wouldn't use that in my accumulator. But for the sake of this show, I'm going to say draw. So that's my prediction. Sheffield Wednesday, Crystal Palace draw. Rachel Wood.
Yeah, I have a tough one again. Leighton Orient versus Yeovil. I'm going to go for home win.
So you're going for Leighton Orient to beat Yeovil today?
Yeah.
Brenchers.
I've got Reading against Liverpool, which is on TV, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think I've got to go Liverpool win, even though they're away.
You've got to go Liverpool, even though it's the FA Cup, even though they're away. You just got to go with Liverpool there, haven't you? Sean Keneally?
I managed to pick MK Dons versus Burnley. So I'm going to go for MK Dons.
Oh, he's only gone and gone for the upset.
Yeah.
Brave guy, he's gone for the upset.
Confidence, that's it.
Good man.
Confidence is key. Rob Brennan.
I've got Bolton Wanderers against Lincoln City, and as predicted, Gary Megson's no longer Bolton manager, so I'll go for Bolton to win now.
Bolton to beat Lincoln. Is that at... was it Lincoln?
No, it's at Bolton.
It's at Bolton. Chris, our Euro expert.
Well, I've got Middlesbrough and Man City, and resurgent Middlesbrough perhaps, and given Man City's form lately, I'm going to go for a draw.
And that's at the Riverside, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So you've got Middlesbrough, Man City, and you're going for a draw.
I've got Aston Villa against Blackburn, and I'm not going to change my tactics. Always go for the home win, no matter who it is. Home win, Aston Villa.
Aston Villa, well, Of course you're going to go for Aston Villa. Of course they're going to win that.
Well, yeah, because they're home.
and the fact they're just going to win. Our Facebook team was taking shape nicely in 2009, and we've got two more positions to fill. We've got the number 10 jersey and the number 9 jersey, the two strikers' shirts to give away. The team as it stands so far: Tim Howard, our number 1 in goal; Glenn Johnson, number 2, our right back; Patrice Evra's our left back; our centre backs are Rio Ferdinand and John Terry. Just so you know, this is done on how many friends they've got on Facebook. So this is the most popular team in the Premier League, according to Facebook. Our right winger is Theo Walcott. Our left winger is Ryan Giggs. And as we found out on our Christmas show, Steven Gerrard and Francesc Fabregas. You don't hear him called Francesc much these days, do you? They just go with Cesc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder why he didn't go with Fran. So, Fran Fabregas, and probably because it's a bit mouthful, isn't it? Fran Fabregas. Fran Fabregas and Steven Gerrard are our two central midfielders, and Steven Gerrard absolutely demolished the points, didn't he? He just got like over 300,000 points. He's our captain because he's got the most points, friends. He's got the most friends on Facebook. This week, let's go for the number 9 shirt. We'll leave the number 10 shirts next week. You need to write these down, guys, and people at home. The three players this week are Chelsea's Didier Drogba, Manchester City's Emmanuel Adebayor, and Liverpool's Fernando Torres. So, three massive Premiership names: Adebayor, Drogba, and Torres. And remember, it's how many friends you think they've got on Facebook. If you've got any ideas, email us at sport@onfmradio.co.uk, and we will reveal the answer after this short break.
London is 101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. This is Matt Dean, and you are listening to the On FM Football Show, where before the break, we sent you a little conundrum to see who the number 9 shirt was going to go to in our Facebook popularity contest team. Rachel, the contenders were Fernando Torres, Nicolas Anelka. No, they weren't Nicolas Anelka. It was Drogba, Torres, and Adebayor. Who do you think? Who do you think it is?
Oh, it's got to be Fernando Torres. To be fair, he's a complete fan's favourite. I mean, a legend already at Anfield. And I'd say least favourite out of that has got to be Adebayor. I mean, you know, the fans on Manchester City side and Arsenal probably don't particularly like him that much.
I have to tell you, there was an I hate Adebayor page.
Doesn't shock me, I have to say, Matt. Does not shock me. So, yeah, because of his lack of work ethic, really, at both sides, and also, obviously, his celebration in front of the Arsenal fans when he scored against Arsenal this season, I would say he was the worst off in that kind of fans' favourite, and Fernando Torres has definitely got to take the number 9 shirt.
Right, well, I can reveal. Is everybody in the studio ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Goodness me, I know it's early, but come on, guys, wake up. Right. The team is...
The team?
The team. The player. Sorry, the player. The number 9 shirt goes to, in third place, Emmanuel Adebayor. Yeah. Rachel, you're correct. Adebayor with only 5,561 friends. Rubbish haul of friends for Adebayor. In second place, with a good amount of friends, 124,316 friends, Didier Drogba in second place. So Didier Drogba... quite a lot of friends. In most positions he'd probably have made it, but the number 9 shirt, of course, goes to Fernando Torres. And are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
With a staggering new record. You're not going to believe this, guys. 774,613 friends on Facebook. Fernando Torres has over twice Steven Gerrard, our captain, which makes Fernando Torres our new captain. So obviously people in Liverpool are just loving the Facebook up there. We've got Fernando Torres is now as your captain in our Facebook team, and our vice captain is Steven Gerrard. So there you go. That is our Facebook team for this week. That is our number 9 shirt gone to Fernando Torres. Next week, the number 10 shirt, and I can reveal the contenders will be Wayne Rooney, Nicolas Anelka, and Peter Crouch. We have been joined by Johnny Minar, and you've come all the way from where have you come from?
Swansea.
You come all the way from Swansea, and we're a football show. Are you a football fan at all?
Yeah, I am, mate, yeah. Swansea City.
Swansea City, they're doing all right this season, aren't they?
Yeah, we're sixth at the moment. So hopefully with a bit of luck, we might make the playoffs.
Yeah, is that
sort of the best Swansea can hope for, do you think, playoffs? Or is there any chance at all they're going to get in that top two? It looks pretty much like it's West Brom, Newcastle.
Yeah, I think Newcastle, West Brom most probably take it. Saying that, I think Forest are doing okay as well.
Mm. Yeah, Forest doing very well, aren't they?
But, yeah, I think realistically, obviously with the manager leaving at the start of the season, Martinez went to Wigan. A lot of Swans fans are probably hoping for a mid-table finish. But, yeah, and anything above mid-table I'm happy with.
I have to say, sorry, Jason Scotland has been absolutely awful for Wigan. Mm. I mean, are you surprised by that, Johnny? Do you think that...
Well, he done well for us. I mean, he scored 20-odd goals for us in the Championship, which is pretty good. But it's a big step to take from Championship to Premiership. You've seen a lot of players do it, I think... Kevin Nugent as well was another one Dave Nugent I should say was another one who done that hasn't really hit in the Premier League.
No, that's true, but he hasn't actually scored yet, I don't think, actually.
No,
so that's a target for his 2010, just to score a goal.
You did get a star man in the paper though.
That's fine.
This will be interesting, your answer to this. We've of course got our Queen's Park Rangers expert Pete Davies who's in, who's going to be talking to us later about QPR.
Right.
You've got the ex-QPR manager Paulo Sousa. How do the Swansea fans like him?
He's done well.
Pete Davies just gave the thumbs down.
he's done well for us, you know, can't fault the man, but I suppose discipline with the squad hasn't been too good, because I think we've got a very bad record on red cards this season. It's pretty much a free-for-all in the stand and on the pitch. But yeah, he's done a good job. I can't fault him at all. He's done very well.
Right, well, of course, we've got Johnny Minar in for a reason. He's going to be playing live. So after this next track, you will hear Johnny Minar playing live in the studio. Stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Matt Dean, and you are listening to the On FM football show here from Hammersmith. We've been joined by Johnny Minar, who's going to be playing a live track for us. Johnny, what track are you going to be playing for us today?
Tracking a play is one called No Man's Land.
No Man's Land,
yeah.
And when you've played it, we shall run through where people can get their hands on it and where they can listen to your stuff. I have listened to some of your stuff online, and it's fantastic. So turn your radios up at home, or if you're in your car, and this is Johnny Minar playing a track called No Man's Land.
Crying clouds.
fantastic. That was Johnny Menard with No Man's Land. Johnny, you've come all the way from Swansea today to play for us, haven't you?
Yeah, great.
How was the journey?
Oh, right, yeah, it didn't peak to go over the Severn Bridge this time, because we went on the train. So it cost a bit more than that, but...
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure everyone listening is glad you made the trip. Where can people get hold of your stuff?
Well, because my name is quite hard to pronounce and not a lot of people misspell it, I've got a website. If you go to www.downloadmymusic.co.uk, so you get a link to all my music on there.
So downloadmymusic.co.uk
correct,
is
yeah.
where people can get hold of your music. Do you have a MySpace for people?
I do have a MySpace, yeah, and which is myspace.com/JohnnyMernagh, which is spelled MERNAGH. And you can't spell Johnny, don't bother.
And if people want to come see you live,
yeah,
where can anyone come see you live?
Well, I've got a few gigs which are in the pipeline at the moment, so we've got nothing confirmed as yet. But a lot of local gigs be coming in this year.
Local to us?
To Swansea. But I will be coming to London again, so there should be a few gigs being booked there.
Okay, well, let us know and we'll let people know.
Great, yeah.
So downloadmymusic.co.uk.
Correct, yeah.
Or MySpace. /JohnnyMernagh.
That's it.
Johnny, thank you very much for coming in. That was fantastic. During the show, we're going to be playing tracks by favourite tracks of 2009 by the team here, and this is a track as chosen by Rachel Wood. Welcome back. You are listening to the On FM football show. Here at OnFM, if you'd like to get in touch with us today, the email address is sport@onfmradio.co.uk, or as we know how to use the internet, you can get on Facebook, in your little search engine on Facebook, just type in OnFM Football Show, join our group, and write on our wall. That's a great way that you can just quickly get in contact with us at any time you want to, even when we're off air, get in contact with us and we'll read it out the next week. We have had a couple of emails, which I'll be reading out later, but now... It's time for Chris Ambrose. He does a Euro report for us every week. So, Chris, let's see what you found out about European football this week.
101.4 on FM Sport.
And now for your European Domestic League roundup. In Italy, Inter Milan start the new year top of Serie A, 8 points ahead of city rivals AC Milan, although Milan do have a game in hand, and will be boosted by the news that David Beckham is now fully recovered from the ankle injury that he sustained in the run-up to the MLS Cup final, leaving the online midfielder ready to aid Milan's challenge for the league title, as well as trying to enhance his chances of making England's World Cup squad for this summer's tournament to South Africa. Former Chelsea and Brazil boss Luis Felipe Scolari has apparently rejected an offer for taking over as manager at Juventus. The Turin side currently lie third in the Italian league, and boss Ciro Ferrara is under increased pressure as his side have lost 5 of their last 6 matches. Scolari currently manages Uzbekistan side Bunyodkor, and says he's happy with the setup there. He's reportedly one of the highest paid managers in the world. Luca Toni looks set to return to Serie A, with a switch from German champion league contenders Bayern Munich to Roma, who currently lie fourth in the Italian league. Toni has fallen out with Bayern's manager Louis van Gaal and is now out of favour at the Bavaria club, and is looking to play more consistently in order to increase his chances of getting selected for the Italian World Cup squad this summer. Barcelona are edging Real Madrid in a race for La Liga title in Spain, with the Catalan side sitting 2 points ahead of their rivals. Real Madrid have denied that Manchester City owner Sheikh Mansour has made a mega offer for the club, reported to be around €1 billion, saying while the Sheikh is a keen supporter and friend of the club, it will not be sold, although it is said that there will be discussions between the billionaire and the club later this month. Spanish striker David Villa has hinted that he may be interested in a move to the Premier League at the end of the season. The Valencia player, who currently lie fourth in La Liga, has spoken of his praise for the English league and commented upon the changing trend of Spanish players looking to ply their trade beyond their homeland. In Germany, Bayern Leverkusen start 2010 top of the Bundesliga, but just a point ahead of Schalke, who themselves are 1 point ahead of resurgent Bayern Munich, who have turned around a bad start to the campaign with a series of impressive wins, including the most recent 5-2 defeat of bottom club Hertha Berlin at the Allianz Arena. Former German international goalkeeper Jens Lehmann has found himself in more trouble after tearing the glasses off a van that confronted him as he stormed out of Mainz Stadium, having been sent off in Stuttgart's 1-1 draw with the mid-table side. Lehmann conceded a penalty before being dismissed and got straight into a taxi for the airport instead of taking the team bus. The 40-year-old now faces charges of theft and has apparently been in contact with police, despite returning the glasses and apologising, although Lehmann has said regarding the incident it had been the only way to shut him up. In Scotland, Rangers start the new year 4 points ahead of Celtic at the top of the SPL. The recent poor weather has once again raised discussions about playing some matches in the summer after 19 matches were cancelled last week. SPL chief Neil Doncaster dismissed the idea, saying that in the grand scheme of things, the cancelled matches are few and far between, and that although there may be a place for a winter break in the future, for now, gloves, scarves, pot pies and Bovril will remain the staple fare at SPL games. And that's your European Domestic League Roundup, 101.4 on FM.
101.4 on FM Sport.
So Jens Lehmann ripped the glasses off a fan, did he, Chris?
He did indeed, yeah.
What?
Classic bit. Do we, are you not listening?
Sorry, I was away with
the he's also pissed on a pitch as well.
What?
Oh my yeah, goodness. Did you not see that?
He's an angry man.
So yeah, I mean, it's, nothing's unexpected. I'm not actually sure what the consequences of that was.
He's returned the glasses, but apparently he's been threatened with court action. He's been taken to court.
Just classic Jens. That's what all us Arsenal fans miss. Jens Lehmann.
I think he has got a little bit madder over the years.
But you've got to love him. I just it annoyed me at first, but by the end, I just loved it when a player would run to get the ball and he'd run to get it, and he just shoved the player over as if to say, "Get off my ball."
He was involved in the wrong sport, really, wasn't he? I mean, it should have been kind of American football.
Just classic Jens. That's all you can say. It's like, Jens has done it again. Stop it, Jens. Right, transfer rumours. You've picked out one possible transfer in Europe, haven't you, Rachel?
Well, yeah, it's on football.co.uk, so the reliability of that source I might question. But it's Philipp Lahm could be on his way from Bayern Munich to Barcelona. Actually, Rob in the studio was a little bit surprised by that potential move.
Well, because Bayern Munich haven't been doing too great, and I haven't heard about Philipp Lahm since, like, the World Cup, which was...
I think he was one of the players that was kind of very much against kind of Van der Gaal's kind of leadership qualities.
Yeah.
So that could be perhaps the reason why there's speculation surrounding it.
Yeah, he's roundly sort of believes to be one of the best fullbacks in Europe, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's. I mean, apart from kind of Pastrizeva and possibly, I'd like to say, Gaël Clichy, he is. Yeah, very much considered one of the best.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for your Euro report once again. And now we're going to play your track of 2009. This is Shine Down with Second Chance.
Burn 101.4. London's on FM. It's about more than just music. It's about great music all day long, like this.
I've got food in my belly, analyzes for my daily, and nothing's going to bring me down.
Some of this.
Takes the morning train, he works from 9 to...
And more of this.
Let's take a ride along with the dogs tonight in suburbia.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back, this is Matt Dean. It's just after 12 o'clock on 2nd of January, and you are listening to the On FM Football Show. Earlier, you were introduced to a new expert we have called Andy Statt. He's just a guy that sits at home, doesn't get out of the house, and he's going to give us a stat every week. We now have two more experts which we're going to be introducing, and they are going to be our SPL experts.
Hello, hello, good morning.
How's
hello.
Going? How's it going?
It's Jock here. Willie, happy new year to you. Did you watch the football recently, Willie?
Is this a national anthem, son?
No. I was talking about Chris Boyd's 5 goals for Rangers against Dundee.
Chris Boyd, the Scottish traitor,
wants to play against the Scotland, but he scored 5 goals for Rangers in a 7-1 win.
Can he play the bagpipes?
No, don't be so silly, Willie. Then Hibs scored after 12 seconds through ex-Arsenal player Anthony Stokes, but they got battered by Rangers 4-1.
Doesn't mean they're a kilt.
Don't be so silly, Willie.
A sporting.
Celtic, Glasgow Celtic. Oh, the Glasgow Celtic are the hit. Yeah, they won 2-0 against Hamilton in a cracking game.
Who's playing today?
Nobody, really, apart from...
I can't get out of my front door with all this snow.
Willie, you're being silly. Look, tomorrow's the big game. Celtic Rangers tomorrow, the big old firm game. Should be a couple of goals and a couple of fights, so looking forward to that one. 12 o'clock kick-off on Sky Sports 1.
Sky Sports? I don't have Sky Sports.
Aye, Andy Gray will be there talking about Aidan McGinnis.
Andy Gray?
Andy Gray, you know, the Scottish international who gets better every game on Sky.
Unbelievable.
That was Jock and Willie, our Scottish experts, our SPL experts. they were in fact Scottish. Jock isn't Northern Irish, although his accent did sometimes seem Northern Irish. He's actually Scottish. So that was Jock and Willie, our Scottish experts. They've just ran into the studio and they've just left. Jock and Willie, ladies and gentlemen. Did you like Jock and Willie, Rachel?
Oh, I thought they were a pleasure to listen to. Particularly Jock, actually. I mean, I really felt that he gave a great kind of great display of Scottish kind of courage and passion.
I think Willie's more of his wingman, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's a little bit silly, isn't he, Willie?
Silly Willie. Right, every week I like to give you my track of the week. This week it's by a band that I love called Florence and the Machine, and it's a track you've probably heard. It's called You've Got the Love, which is just doing the rounds everywhere at the moment. It's just on everything you listen to. But I found a remix of that track, and it takes me back to my youth when I used to go to clubs and they used to play garage music. Does anyone remember garage music? And you just couldn't hide from it when I was at school, garage music.
Does anyone remember garage music? You seem to play it on your playlist every week on this show.
No, I play grime. yeah, garage music. This took me back. It's got a little bit of a garage feel to a great track by Florence and the Machine. And this is Florence and the Machine, You've Got the Love, and it's the XX remix. Welcome back to the
101.4 on FM Sport.
Chris, sort yourself out. Chris is sitting on the desk, so I'm just giving him a bit of abuse. Chris, come on.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to catch you out.
Right, we've been joined by Pete Davies from We Are The Rangers Boys, and I'm now going to hand over to you, Rob, because you are our second in command of the QPR. Well, you weren't here on the Christmas show.
No, I wasn't.
He stood in for you.
I did.
Did
you do a good job?
I know he's your apprentice.
I had a question for you, though. They did this thing at the end of the year, Christmas special, and the question for you was, Pete, just to start you off, what is Kevin Gallen's middle name? This was to prove your expert status.
Whew.
I know. I said, I thought you might
is
know.
Is it a weird one?
No, pretty straightforward.
Brian.
No, Andrew.
Andrew, not bad.
Yeah, Kevin Andrew Gallen.
I was quite close, wasn't I?
Anyway, moving on swiftly.
Before you ask me any questions, the big news today is that anyone travelling to Darlington versus Port Vale, don't.
Oh, okay.
Game's off.
And maybe that's Welsh guy that was in earlier.
Also, the Brentford game's off as well.
Yeah, Brentford are off, which means I'm not going to earn any money today. But anyway...
You're going to be on tonight, then? You're going to be on
I'll be on tonight, yeah. I was going to go and cover that. Anyway, you didn't come in due to a lack of communication on our Christmas special, Pete. You were sorely missed, so a happy new year to you. Your expert status was questioned on your message board when you predicted QPR were going to beat Middlesbrough 4-0, and they lost 5-1. However, you said Paul Hart was going to be the new QPR manager, and you were proved correct. It hasn't gone down all that well.
Well, second game in, we won a game, and QPR fans booed the manager.
Yeah.
How about that?
It was quite something, though,
wasn't it? I mean, Megson's had it for, 18 months? And he's obviously recently got sacked at Bolton. Yeah. Come on, lads. I mean, at the end of the day, he's been there 2 minutes. We've won 2-1. And I think what it is, it's probably a different style of football to what we've experienced before. Maybe too adventurous, you know, being 2-1 up, going for the three, going for the four. And Hart tried something different. To be honest with you, he went ultra defensive.
It was there were six defenders essentially. Wasn't
seven.
There?
How about that?
Wow.
I'm sure it was seven. Borodale being used as a left winger. Connolly being used as a.
But I reckon Matt Connolly has never ever played in midfield.
Why do managers play players out of position?
I know.
You know they all do it. You know.
But however, Rangers fans have short memories because that West Brom result, 2-1 up. Brought on a forward, possibly the worst centre-forward I've ever seen in a QPR shirt, Alexandre Pilicori. Mm. He's bad. But they drew 2-2.
He's bad, but is he as bad as someone like Bob Malcolm?
He's on Bob's level, I think.
Do you reckon?
I think he's trying to do an impression of a footballer. He offers very little.
Yeah, I mean, all he had to do in that last minute against West Bromwich Albion was just hold the ball.
Yeah.
Falling maybe should have gone down the wing and just played it, but, you know, sometimes when I watch Pilicori play, he scored a lot of goals in the reserves, mind you.
Against Crawley.
Doesn't matter. but I can give you some exclusive, because a lot of people follow Pilicori and really rate him quite highly.
Really?
Unfortunately, he's going in January.
Oh, is he?
He's going back to Italy.
Right. I'm not surprised.
Same Alberti as well, I think, might be going as well. At the end of the day, sometimes you've got to take a risk on these players, and it's not worked. But with Falling, I think everyone's really happy and delighted with the way Falling's been playing.
No, it's obviously January, the transfer window's open, and having watched QPR since October when they were brilliant, and it's all going to be downhill,
reinforcements are definitely needed, and a couple of the loan players have gone back, which I think is good for the football club. I think QPR needs to bring in their own players and stop with so many loan players.
Well, you say that, but we could have bought Ben Watson for £2.5 million.
Right.
Wasted that money, and now you've been in a situation whereby you've got a player who didn't put a tackle in the last few games.
Yeah.
He's been on four bookings for about 2 months. Two sending-offs when he first come, obviously, but over the top there. But you've got players on loan. It's a very delicate situation. Do you bring loans in, and what are they trying to achieve? With Watson, I think everyone would have said, look, let's go and buy this kid.
Yeah.
You know, he's was great for Crystal Palace, but he just hasn't done it for Rangers. We will get four or five players in. It has been publicised now that Kitson was one of the targets. Unfortunately, and again, I can give you the exclusive, it looks like we won't get Kitson. And things change, and people have got to appreciate, things change every day in football.
Yeah.
Kitson wants to move down to London. His family's down in London. His wife's, I think, and family have got a family home in London. But at the end of the day, you know, players don't go to clubs for the shirt. They don't go for the support that we have. They go for money.
Yeah.
And that's a big drawback a lot of the time.
Isn't part of the problem, though, Pete, that if you look at the QPR team at the moment, there's no one who's come through the system, apart from Angelo Balanta, who doesn't start at the moment. And there is a group of players out there picking up, I'd imagine, pretty decent wages.
Mm.
And with all the changes with managers, the atmosphere at QPR amongst the players, amongst the fans, the performances at the moment, there's not a good feeling. I've been to other London teams recently covering football matches, and there's a general good feeling at clubs. There's people on doors who are happy to be working at the football club. The fans seem to be, you know, good. I went to Millwall Charlton and there was people smiling at that one, you know, the South London derby. At Rangers at the moment, especially from a press perspective, the headlines are written before you sit down and start typing, because there's so much rumours at QPR, and there seems to be a division between some fans really backing the team and others who the slightest thing and they're on top of players' back.
I bet it's easy for you journalists, actually, to get a good story even before things have kicked
off
there.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole place there is a very uncomfortable place for a fan to be, and I think it comes down to a lack of leadership. At the end of the day, if you keep changing your managers, and you can't be blamed for Magilton going, and obviously if the stories are true of what happened, and it had been going on for a couple of games before that, the sort of over-passionate sort of style manager. But at the end of the day, it's so difficult to watch the club that you love being sort of trodden on, if you like, in terms of it not being managed properly from the top. You know, supporters were on a high in October. Everyone was really happy. You know, we were beating teams 4-5 and everything was jolly. And then we had a couple of bad results. And the unfortunate thing is, I think, in hindsight, what the board did is they said right at the start, look, this is a four-year plan.
Yeah.
And now we're 2.5 years into it and we are
Eight managers into it.
We're, what, 10th in the league? We've progressed, but not on the levels that everyone expected. And obviously, you had the Fulham fan in earlier on, and you can see the fact that, you know, they had big problems in the 90s, and people have short memories. There wasn't the internet then, and Fulham managed to get from one division to the next and then into the Premiership. Rangers will do it, but I think they need the fans on their side. There is no fans for them by the club.
Yeah.
They've got to get that back in as soon as possible. There is a big divide. It's grown bigger from the top to the fans.
Yeah.
The fans need the ball to react, and the ball need the fans, and there's just nothing there at the moment.
It's quite interesting, before we go on to talk about the FA Cup match against played Ipswich recently, got beaten 3-0. That was my pick of the Christmas games, by the way.
Did you pick Ipswich?
I thought Rangers were going to do quite well. I thought Keno was, you know, a bit more pressure on Keno. But I know Damien Delaney, the former QPR player, he basically wrote in their matchday programme that QPR will never have success while Flavio Briatore is there. He's probably the first person connected with the club who's actually come out boldly and stated, you know, he wanted out and there was going to be no success, and sacking Ian Dowie was the worst decision ever made. Now, he's away in Ipswich, he can say these things. Everyone else who's been involved can't come out and say stuff. So, as a fan, what did you take to Delaney's comments about QPR won't be successful under Briatore?
Well, I think Delaney has got a good rapport with the fans. He came out and there was a sort of season ticket for him at the end, and he was the only one out of the normal names that came along, and you could tell that he wasn't happy. Listen, at the end of the day, Flavio, I think, at first interfered. You know, it was his baby. He's gone from F1 to football. We've got Ian Dowie in. Definitely a clash of personalities between Flavio and Dowie. You don't have to like the guy And I think a lot of fans don't like Flavio Briatore. But ultimately, he's the one that decides what players, what money is invested. We only get 12,000, 13,000 crowds. Now, you know, a few years ago, we were paying wages $2,000 or $3,000 a week, and you can manage that on 12,000, 13,000. Now, you know, the wages are sort of 10,000 to 14,000. So there must be a lot of money being spent. And all I think, I mean, Flavio's got a big court case, and I think the results of that this week, at 5th or the 8th of January. So it's dependent on the result of that, whether he's seen fit by the Football League. And there's so much uncertainty at the club, and I think that doesn't help the fans. And I think that's the big problem, really.
And to finish up, there is an FA Cup match. QPR in the FA Cup is not a nice match. It's a new decade, though. I know QPR's results in the noughties was pretty shocking in the FA Cup. Sheffield United away, drew with them recently at Loftus Road. What are you thinking? QPR want to stay in the FA Cup, I guess.
Well, I've been told that Elgerson could play tomorrow. How about that?
Oh, really?
Being recalled by Watford, yeah. I mean, Watford, a sort of £300,000 offer was put on the table. I don't think they can afford that, so Elgerson could be back today. It all depends what team he puts out. I don't know whether we take the FA Cup seriously. We haven't won a third-round tie for 10 years.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it? That is an incredible stat.
You know, so I don't think we're going to break the record tomorrow either. I'd be happy with a draw. I think Sheffield United have too much for us, and I think that it'll probably been 1 or 2 nil. The focus must be on the league the week after. We've got Plymouth the week after that. But we've got to start, I think, as a fan base, and a lot of people disagree with me, I think we've got to, it's very difficult, but we've got to start sort of being a bit more cheerful when we win games. which is unbelievable to say, but that's the way it is.
Pete, thanks very much for coming on. You're on again later on tonight. New football show, results roundup from 7 to 8 on West London Football.
Absolutely. And I need as much help from everyone as I can get.
Pete, thank you very much. And Rob, the apprentice, thank you very much. We've got a lot more coming up for you today, guys. We've got the 90s Player Challenge, which has now been opened to the panel. So we've got the 90s Player Challenge coming up. We've also all, except for you, Rob, we've all made a fantasy football team, which I'm sure Rob's going to do it soon. We've got a fantasy football team, so we're going to tell you a bit about our teams and tell you about the results that have come from that so far. We've also got an experts quiz. I'm going to be challenging one of these experts to a little quiz to see, you know, how much of an expert they really are. None of them know this. None of them know who's going to be challenged first, but one of them will be challenged today. Next up is my favourite track of 2009. This is Walking on a Dream by Empire of the Sun.
101.4 on FM Sport.
This is Matt Dean, and welcome back to the On FM Football Show. It's coming up to about 12:30 here in Hammersmith. If you'd like to get in contact with us today, it's sport@onfmradio.co.uk, and you can also write on our Facebook page if you're on the internet. If you're on Facebook, join our group and write on our wall. We've had an email.
Wow, Matt, what does it say?
And everyone's just like, wow, we've had an email.
You've silenced the crowd there.
We've had another email from Phil, and Phil lives in Wimbledon, and Phil says...
Hi, Phil.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil, thanks for listening. Phil says he's loving the show, and more of the same, please.
Oh, brilliant.
So thank you very much, Phil, keep listening. And you can listen online if you'd like to listen online at www.onfmradio.com if you're not in the area and you can't get it on 101.4 FM.
Do you want me to just run through the games that are off today, Matt, in case people are about to head out the door?
I'd love you to do that.
All right, FA Cup, Accrington against Gillingham off, Brentford against Doncaster off, Bristol City against Cardiff off, Football League, Leighton Orient against Yeovil off, Darlington Port Vale, as Pete mentioned, off, Hereford Crewe off, Macclesfield v Morecambe off, Rochdale v Rotherham off, and I'd keep a close eye on the internet because I reckon a few more could go before one.
Thanks, Rob. So keep your eye on the internet if you're going to a game today. Just make sure it's on, unless it's a Premier League ground, because they got it good, haven't they?
Yeah, well, Brendan ranting if a Premier League one goes.
Well, I still think it's poor that Championship, to be honest, are called off, but yeah.
Didn't Cardiff have a game called off last week, and they've got a brand new stadium?
They should be fine.
Join them.
Fine
them all. I reckon they should ban them from the cup.
Fine them.
Ridiculous. A game of that standard in that kind of stadium being called off because the pitch isn't in the right nick. It's a disgrace.
Fine them. Anyone listening who's associated with Cardiff, email into us, sport@onfmradio.co.uk, and answer Brendan Hulk Horgan, and just let us know what you think. Right, guys, you know I love competition. I like to get a bit of healthy competition going on in the studio between all of us. So our latest competition is... that didn't, the whole thing didn't play.
We got the word fantasy there.
Let's try that one more time. Come on, Chris. Quick with those buttons, Chris. Chris is sweating away here.
Football.
There it is. So you missed a little football on the end. Let me be your fantasy football. So you can get from that we've all made a fantasy football team. Currently, the league table stands like this. Well, there's a bit of discrepancy here. The thing is...
Matt, you're bottom. End of.
not according to the official league table. Right, we've all done teams. The best player to have in fantasy football at the moment is probably Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, I'd definitely say Wayne Rooney, yeah.
And you were gutted first week, weren't you? You're captain. Double points for captains.
I love Scott Parker, actually. I'm just a huge fan of Scott Parker. He was my captain, of course. He became injured after actually having a very long stint without being injured.
Well, the league table at the moment, 6th Brendan, 5th Sean, 4th Rachel, 3rd Chris, 2nd Brenchers. Top of the league at the moment is myself. But we'll run through a little bit more of that after these messages.
Great music, great city. This is London 101.4 on FM.
Cash flow dwindling. Budget depleting. Targeting everyone, but reaching no one. Well, have you tried talking to them? Call 0845 202 0063.
101.4 on FM.
101.4.
T'was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, no sound, no ticking, it's as quiet as a mouse. Oh no, my watch has stopped, and I've still got all these presents to deliver.
Don't worry, Santa, because John Vincent the Watchmaker is the UK's leading horologist. He's the one all the jewellers go to get watches fixed or to buy more. Save time and money by going straight to him and cutting out the middleman. And with up to 50% off the finest quality timepieces, he's perfect for Christmas. John Vincent the Watchmaker. See jonvincent.co.uk.
Ho, ho, ho! Perfect timing.
You want me. You need me. You must have me. Resist me if you can. Resist.
Eau de Maton. Pour femme. For maison de Dudu. Du.
I am Maton.
If the power of radio has made you prick up your ears for Eau de Maton, just think what it could do for a product that really exists. Remember, all you marketing executives, radio ads bite. Find out why at rab.co.uk.
A home is full of memories, where family and friends meet to share stories, where families have grown and then left to create their own homes. If you're over 55, you could unlock the equity in your house without having to leave your home and even help your family find their home and create their own memories. First Alliance is the local specialist in helping you to decide if equity release is right for you. To understand the features, costs and risks, call First Alliance free on 08000 699 019.
Reaching your customers and realising your company's potential is as easy as, well, turning off a tap. Speak to on FM and rehydrate your cash flow. Call 0845 202 0063.
101.4 on FM.
101.4.
London's on FM. It's about more than just music. It's about great music broadcasting through the heart of London like this. And more of this.
Her name is Rio and she dances on the sand. Just like that river twisting through the dusty land.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. It's the 2nd of January and you are listening to the On FM Football Show. Before we went to the ad break, we were talking about our fantasy football teams. And yeah, there's been a bit of a discrepancy because who's it? Was it myself, Brenchers, and Chris? We did our teams before Brendan, Rachel, and Sean did theirs, so we've got extra points. But
if you deduct the points before everyone joins, I think you'll find, Matthew, I'm not bottom of the league.
I am. Well, do you know? But the thing is, I don't see how that works, because you've basically copied my team. You've got Vermaelen, you've got Rooney as your captain, you've got Jermaine Defoe. I can't.
Sorry, I don't have Vermaelen.
Don't you?
No.
Oh, someone else has copied me then.
Basically, we've both got Rooney and Jermaine Defoe, and you said I nicked them off of you, because it wasn't blatantly obvious to pick Wayne Rooney and Jermaine Defoe, both
the most prolific scorers.
Great form, the top scorers.
Look, I don't want to get into this.
I think you stole it off Fabio Capello, Matt.
Right. It will rumble on over the next few weeks. You're going to hear us moaning about this, our fantasy football teams. Currently, as it stands, we'll talk about the league table during the week and we'll give you an update of the league table next week. But a new little thing. I always watch Match of the Day, and there'll be a little, you know, there'll be a little fight or something that happens on the pitch, and some little tiny winger is, you know, gets smashed off the pitch into the side, and he gets up and he tries to. And he tries to act all hard and have a fight. Don't you hate it when that happens? Rob, come on, you hate it when that happens, don't you?
No.
You've got a tiny little winger, yeah. and he gets smashed, and he gets up,
yeah.
and he'll give it the large one as if he's going to knock out someone like, I don't know, Alex Song.
Yeah.
Yeah?
He might knock him out.
And it's just
one,
ridiculous.
Mate.
You're just thinking, oh, come on, mate, don't even try
it. Well, you probably didn't watch it. But recently in Northern Ireland there was a game and one team got left with 7 players, and when little wingers got knocked out there, they did kind of get stuck in. So it can happen.
It's like the little man raging against the machine. I quite like that.
Yeah, oh. It can happen. I mean, it was like Cliftonville against someone else, but I think it ended up 7-8.
Okay, well, let's not say when someone gets smashed. Let's just say there'll be a little thing going on the pitch, and you'll get one of these little players... Someone like, I don't know, I can't think of someone at the moment off the top of my head. But you know what I mean, you've got that annoying little midfielder or centre-back, Paul Dickov.
Yeah.
He'd always push people and you'd think, what are you doing trying to push John Terry? He'll kill you.
I tell you, Paul Dickov and John Terry had many a scrap playing together, and John Terry isn't really, not John Terry, Paul Dickov I wouldn't class in that kind of category that you're class. Paul Dickov's a tough un.
Yeah.
He's a tough nut.
The big uns can fight, you know.
Well... I'm telling you this, it annoys me. So every week...
just for the sake of Matt's annoyance.
Yeah, every week. And I'm sure it annoys other people. I've been sitting with people watching Match of the Day and they've gone, oh, what is he doing? Tell him not to bother. Anyway, we're going to pick out a player every week who's been just trying to act a little bit above his station. Brendan, you were saying one this week, weren't you? When you went to the Fulham game, you saw someone trying to act a bit tough.
I wouldn't say he was trying to act tough, but John Pansel kind of had a bit of an altercation with Didier Drogba. John Pansel was a tough one himself, but if you just look at the sizes, you know, if you put them both in a ring...
Did we congratulate John Pansel on becoming Ghana's Player of the Year? Because I think that's quite an achievement.
Absolutely brilliant player
as
well.
And now he's out injured.
He's done a great job for
was
Fulham.
He over at Essien?
Yeah.
Really?
John Pansel, I mean, I got to Fulham sometimes. When he runs around the pitch at the end of the game, yeah. I think fair play to you,
I think
John
it's blatantly the fans have just
voted
him in.
You haven't forgotten that you used to sit and watch football once upon a time.
Well, for 2010, the first week, the player that I just... And he's a classic. I hope no one says, oh, I like him, is Stephen Hunt.
What? No, I'm not having that. Hunt is... No, he's one of the greatest Irish players.
Oh, my God.
He's a little thug.
No, Huntley. I like Huntley.
Well, anyone who watched the Arsenal Hull game will have seen Nasri. He was a naughty boy. He trod on someone.
Nasri's head off.
He trod on someone's foot, but straight away from the other end of the pitch, who runs in, didn't need to get involved, Stephen Hunt.
No.
So, Stephen Hunt, this week you have been charged with...
Why are you trying to act the big man?
Why are you trying to act the big man? Stephen Hunt... You have been charged because you were trying to...
Act the big man.
Chris, don't do an impression of it. So I'm putting Chris under extreme pressure today by making him press the buttons twice, aren't I? Sorry, Chris. Are you ready?
Just, can you have a drum roll?
So...
Come on.
Stephen Hunt.
Why are you trying to act the big man?
Why are you trying to act the big man, Stephen Hunt? Let's see what it is next week. I think there's just too many players in the Premiership get away with trying to act all hard. And then, oh, did you see Piquion the other day against Arsenal? He got an
Noticing all these players you don't like happening against Arsenal.
These are the games I watch. Traore poked him in the eye and he fell down. He was nearly through and he fell over because he got poked in the eye. It's pathetic. It really annoys me.
William Gallas spitting his dummy out sessions.
That happened once, thank you, Rob. Once. Yeah. At the pitch of Birmingham.
I'd be the first one to have a go at William Gallas, don't you worry. Right, coming up, we've still got a lot more to do. After this next track, we've got the Experts Quiz, and we've also got the much-anticipated 90s Player Challenge. So make sure you stay tuned.
Oh! 101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. You are listening to the On FM Football Show, where we've got probably about 15 minutes left today. Right, it's been so anticipated that I can barely get my words out. If you listen to the Christmas show, Brendan and I went head-to-head in the 90s Player Challenge, a challenge where we all have to name...
head-to-head, Brendan head barely registered, didn't it?
It didn't. He was like Stephen Hunt. Right, we played. It's a game where you just name 90s players back and forth to see who can name the most. So it's now time for...
The On FM Football Show Play, the 90s Player Challenge.
That's right. It's time. The time has come for the 90s Player Challenge getting opened out to the whole panel. So, I'll be the draw master. Actually, Brendan, you can be the draw master because you're
a loser.
So, all the names are in the hat or in the cup. Pick two names out and they will now go head to head in the 90s Player Challenge.
And drawn first out
at home is
we have Mr. West Ham himself, Brentchers.
Brentchers at home. And who will he play?
It's like, it is like doing the FA Cup third round draw. It's cool. We'll take on Matt. So, Matt, you're in second round already.
I wanted a week off, I'm not going to lie. The team today can be chosen by you guys.
Pete.
I'll take Newcastle.
Newcastle, yep.
Will you, Brentchers?
Brentchers is confident.
Brentchers has now moved around the desk to face me. He's giving me evils. Right, Brentchers, would you like to start? Yep. 90s players.
Yep, that's fine.
Off we go.
Shaka Hislop.
Faustino Asprilla.
John Beresford.
Pavel Cernicek.
David Batty.
You killed me. Do you know why? Because David Batty was my next one.
Matt's been beaten.
He killed me because he said David Batty, and I had David Batty in my head, you said David Batty, and I felt like going, yeah, David Batty. Brentchers, you've beaten me a first round knockout, just like West Ham tomorrow. No, didn't rise to the bait, did he? I hope that isn't Arsenal West Ham clash. Arsenal tomorrow in the FA Cup. So Brentchers will go through to the next round. Next week we have Rob, Sean, Rachel, and Chris. And no, Brendan's not in the hat. It's just the four of them left in the hat for the next round. Brendan and I are both off on our holidays as far as the 90s Player Challenge goes. Coming up, we've got the Experts Quiz and J to the P. The famous J to the P from the Christmas show will make his return. Stay tuned.
On FM Sport.
Welcome back. You are listening to the On FM Football Show, where we have been joined by a special guest. If you listen to the Christmas show, you'll have noticed that... we had a guy come in called... Well, he didn't come into the studio, did he? We had a prank call. A real call. So it was real, wasn't it? Where J to the P, Jermaine Pennant, called Real Zaragoza to get tickets. And
it was really called...
It was Real Madrid, wasn't it?
He plays
Real Zaragoza because his car don't go far. And he tried to get tickets, 10 VIP tickets for the Real Madrid game. And now he's going to be coming into the studio every week.
Yeah, Jay... cheers for coming in.
What's up?
Should we bust the tune?
So, yeah, what I'm going to do, I'm going to, do a ram, and people at home, and you guys in the studio, you've got to guess what player I'm rapping about, innit?
Okay, right.
So, Ledley, hit the beat. He plays for a team in London town. This time last season, they were going down, but now they're pushing for the top four, and he's knocking on Capello's door. He's got a girl that hung in Hell's Kitchen while I was robotting the ball in. Who is it, man? Who was I rapping about?
Right, I don't have a clue. Robbie Brennan saying Peter Crouch. I was thinking more on Bobby Zamora, I was thinking. He was fighting the bot. Oh, there. No, that was the year before. That's
right. He was roboting the ball in, innit?
Right.
J to the P.
J to the P.
J to the P.
Right, so...
That's me.
Rob Brennan says Peter Crouch.
Any more guesses?
No, it's Peter Crouch, isn't it?
We know.
Peter Crouch?
Peter Crouch.
Safe, it's Peter Crouch.
Right. Cheers for that, Jermaine.
J to the P.
Are you going
to
be back next week?
Maybe.
Yeah.
J to the P, out. So that was...
Yeah, Matt.
J to the P.
He just took your seat.
I know. Well, he came in and I just sort of left just for a minute while he was out. So that was Peter Crouch. That was a... You all got it right. Well done. J to the P.
He's going to have to jump on a plane back to...
He's going to have to get there quick. Well, they've got a Christmas break, haven't they?
Yeah, but, you know, Saturday night, clubbing.
China Whites, possibly. Right, if you listen to the Christmas show, you'll have noticed that we did a little experts quiz where I asked some of the team a few questions just to see, because they all claim to be experts, but, you know, some of them maybe not the experts they think they are. So every week I've set a task which I'm going to ask one of the experts every week three questions. They have no idea which expert's up first, but I can now reveal the first expert up for interrogation is Rachel Wood.
Great, thanks.
As we know, Rachel's an expert on football, but specifically lady-based football.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. It somehow feels something slightly.
Go on, should you define lady-based football? For
just lady-based football.
I've asked about Arsenal ladies. So I've just been interviewing some ladies on the street. So
yeah, so well, we've got our football expert, which is Rob. So we can't have two football experts. So we just call you our.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
Lady football expert.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Thank you. Yeah.
Ready for the questions?
Yeah.
Feel free, everyone, to answer these if you want in your heads, and then just tell me if you think you would have got it right.
Just tell me as well, that's fine.
And
too.
Just bear in mind, you're playing for your expert crown.
Status.
Yeah, I think if you get these three
wrong... lady-based football, I think I've got something to protect here, Matt. I think I've got
What should we say, guys? Should we say she has to get one out of three? Two out of three?
Two.
Two out of three to be an expert.
That's how hard this is. Okay.
Rachel Wood, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question one. What year was the first ever Women's World Cup held?
Oof. Women's World Cup. Okay, how recent are we going to go here?
Talk us through your thought process here, Rachel.
Well, I'm thinking it's going to be... Ooh, okay. Okay, I'd say... 1986?
1986?
Is that far too far back? Are we talking...
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Any advances on that?
Are we going to go earlier? What are people's senses?
I bet you do.
I'd say it's in the 90s.
Do you think 90s?
Yeah.
One or two? So we've got a few 91s, a few 92s.
I'll go 95.
95.
Oh, really, that late?
Chris?
We've just had one, haven't we? So they're presumably 4-year intervals.
Oh?
Oh, actually, you're taking more logic to this than perhaps I adopted.
Well, my logic's now going to fade out. Because I'm not very good with my four times table, but
and the answer is 1991. We had some correct answers behind you.
Well, the real expert, you know. It's,
question
number 86 is a little premature.
Question number two: what team caused an upset by beating Liverpool in the 1996 Women's FA Cup final? The 1996 Women's FA Cup final.
Okay, so an upset. I know that.
Brendan knows the answer. Because I think I just tell by the look in his eyes. Don't try and send it to him.
I don't think I know. I think I've got an idea.
It's a tough one, I tell you.
Doncaster Rovers or
Bells is the
Bells. Oh yeah, Bells. Thank you, Rob. Oh yeah, Doncaster Bells. Did they? Yeah, Doncaster Bells. Go with that.
Doncaster Bells. Any advances on that?
Was it Charlton?
No.
Fulham.
Anyone else?
Fulham.
No. No.
They were quite big teams, well, though. Arsenal. Like,
no. Ready.
Croydon,
ready for the answer.
Yeah,
ready for the answer. Who's? What did you say?
Croydon
is correct. It was Croydon.
That's what Charlton were before they.
Oh, right, so by me saying Charlton, I am technically right. It's a bit like if someone said, what was the score in 18, whatever, and you said Woolwich, Arsenal, rather than Arsenal. Still technically the same, so I said technically I got the question right, cheers.
Technically, though, Rachel didn't.
No, technically...
Technically and literally, Rachel didn't. So, Rachel, to be an expert, you've just got to get this one right.
I know, okay? Well, any kind of expert, yeah.
For your expert hat to stay firmly on your head, this is just pressure. Ready? Ready for another lady-based football question?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Which Z-list celebrity is currently dating Tottenham's Jermaine Defoe?
See, I'm really not into actually that much of a wag.
You're our wag correspondent.
I know, but I just don't care that much, really, about a wag's Jermaine Defoe.
Come on, Rachel, I'm going to have to rush
you. Sorry. Okay, I'm really sorry, but my knowledge of wags is, given I do the Wag Watch, is a little bit shocking.
It's former Big Brother contestant.
Imogen Thomas.
Correct. Maybe you two should swap. She should be our football expert. You should be our ladies,
yeah,
lady.
Certain newspapers that require things like jokes about Jermaine Pennant's girlfriend.
Yeah, clearly, Rob perhaps needs to take over the Wag Watch mantle. And,
well, someone does, because you got none out of three.
I know, that was shocking.
So, there you go. Rachel, you are supposedly an expert, but...
But not in the women's field, really, actually, as it turns out.
Not really. If you'd like to get in contact with us, if you knew any of the answers to those questions, get in contact with us at sport@onfmradio.co.uk, or you can write on our Facebook page. You can write on it any time during the week if you want to. And tell us whatever's in your head, write it down, and we will try to respond or give you a little plug. Make sure, if you're around, if you've got time, you listen to tonight. It's the full-time, what did we say we're going to call it, Pete?
The full-time football show, 7 to 8.
The full-time football show between 7 and 8 tonight. Pete's going to be there. Brendan, you're going to be there. Rob's going to be there. Anyone else? Chris is going to be there. Just the four of us, then. Not invited, guys, no?
No.
No, me neither. It's the full-time football show, so make sure you listen to that. Sorry while I rustle bits of paper, because there's another show you just must listen to. We played you a track a minute ago by a guy called Ollie Nodwell, who's a member of Miller & Nodwell, who came in just before Christmas and did a fantastic track for us. And you can hear, if you like things like that, you can listen on Monday nights at 8 p.m. to the Atomic Mosquito show with Carlo. Is it the Atomic Mosquito?
Atomic Mosquito show with Carlo. He has all kinds of different variations of music. It's quite eclectic tastes he has. He play anything from jazz to hip-hop, all unsigned music. 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock is a great show. He always has a live band in as well, like ourselves. So tune in to Carlo and the Atomic Mosquito show.
If you could be any insect, what would you be?
Ant.
I, you know, it just isn't one of those things that really goes through my head.
Rach?
Actually, a mosquito's not bad. I mean, you know, you obviously draw blood in. I mean, that's
an atomic mosquito, that sounds pretty cool,
yeah.
Doesn't it? I'd quite like to be one of them. Or maybe a bumblebee.
I was actually once bitten 63 times by mosquitoes in Turkey. And once on my eye, and it flared up really nastily.
Who counted?
Exactly,
yeah.
63.
I was about 12 at the time, didn't have much to do, so there we go.
It was a really boring holiday. It's like sitting by the pool. 1, 2, 3. Oh, zzz. Oh, there's another one. I better start again. Sorry, Rachel.
Yeah, that's my voice, thanks.
So, yeah, in the week, get in contact with us, sport@onfmradio.co.uk, because right now we have run out of time. Thank you very much, guys, everybody. Anyone off doing anything exciting today?
I'm off to Craven Cottage to watch Fulham versus Swindon. Myself and Rob Brennan are going to go down there. We're going to do a bit of a report for Pete.
Enjoy the game, boys, and we will see you next week in our new time, 10 o'clock till 1 on FM.
This is London.
This is London.
101.4.
London is...